I'm John Batchelor. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, writing at American Greatness about information, information flow, democratization of information, and I want to put it into practice, from theory to practice. Thaddeus, a very good evening to you. I see in the news Senator Sinema of Arizona asked to officiate at a wedding in Arizona, a modest street in a modest town. A family gathers, the bride, the groom, and their friends. And you enter through a door into an interior garden. The weather looks very mild. Everybody's in short sleeves. Wonderful. However, there's suddenly a demonstration with signs, written signs, protesting Senator Sinema's maverick presentation during the recent debates in Congress over the Biden agenda and other pieces of legislation. The demonstrators are marching back and forth, chanting various sayings, and the signs say betray or whatever. And it's not disorderly so much as scattered and odd in a side street. However, the mother of the bride comes out and asks them plaintively, please, can you give us silence for an hour? My daughter's getting married. Just give us an hour, and then you have a right to demonstrate. I understand. However, what I saw is that some of the demonstrators were quiet, but others mocked her or yelled at her. I don't know the end of it, although I did see a clip where the people inside at the wedding were singing the Star Spangled Banner. However, it was repeated again and again in media, not just here but in London, this episode. It was all filmed. It took about 4 minutes. It was a long piece of video. Now, I'm puzzled because this, in my youth, would have been known as guerrilla theater, and it was practiced routinely when there were representatives of the Johnson administration or the Nixon administration, and the subject was always Vietnam, protesting the Vietnam War. The most spectacular version, of course, was the Chicago riot of August 1968, when young people took over the park and the police charged them, and it was all circling around Mayor Daley and the nomination of Hubert Humphrey. That's the spectacular version of guerrilla theater. A police riot was called in an investigation. However, this was a little bitty affair. Nonetheless, because we have social media today, it goes around the world. Somebody with an iPhone can be just as good as the CBS crew was in 1968. What I puzzle about is, how does the democratization of information fit into this? Because it would appear, since we all see it within hours of it happening, that the protesters created conditions that are the opposite of what they wanted to happen. The mother looked extremely distraught, and it was easy to sympathize with her. We've all been to weddings. We know how upset mothers can get at weddings, and she was trying to talk to strangers about something that was responsible of what she was saying, and it was important for her life. So how does the democratization of information explain this, and have we lost control of information? Good evening to you.
Well, my argument, John, is not to have control of information at all, especially the government, the corporate fascists, and the rest of them should keep their hands off of it for precisely this reason. What you're witnessing was the left trying to use the weaponization of information. So what they would like to do is take some video of them protesting Senator Sinema. They would then selectively edit it, hand it off to their friends in the Pravda corporate media, and then have them spread it around with the most sympathetic tone they could provide to pressure Senator Sinema to change her positions in accordance with what the protesters wanted. What the democratization of information does is it allows people to put the actual images of the mother begging them to leave the wedding alone, the mocking by the other protesters, and allow them to put that online, to allow the full story to get out, so that this type of weaponization of information actually boomerangs on the protest and boomerangs on the Pravda media, so that they're further back from achieving their goal than they ever were, which is why the left wants to censor people. They want to stop the democratization of information so they can cash in and control the disinformation they give to the American people on a daily basis.
And therefore, what I was witnessing was not in any fashion what was intended. The protest then failed. Now, does this connect to a larger failure going on? Because this is not isolated. Senator Sinema has been the target of other challenges. Guerrilla theater, again, that's a term from the 60s, but it's the only one I have. Guerrilla theater, and I don't know if Senator Manchin has enjoyed the same attention, but it would appear not to be working, and yet it's repeated and repeated. Is that a measure of the limits of control?
Yes, and they want, that's the problem, is they, the deprived of corporate media and the left believes that the democratization of information empowers citizens to the point where they can disregard them. Remember, they take great pride in the fact that they still consider themselves opinion makers and opinion shapers. And the reality is the social media and the continued expansion of people to have their voices heard and to have their views heard has diminished them, and rightly so. Look, if the media had its way, you'd have the, they would be trying to convince the country without any counterclaims that somehow we've never had it so good, when the reality of day-to-day life tells us otherwise, and when the democratization of information allows us all to look at each other and share information saying, my God, it is horrible. How about you? Yeah, it's horrible over here, too. Well, we should do something. Well, the left cannot have that because their whole ideology is based upon an act of negation of civil liberty, an act of negation of equality, an act of negation of essentially everything that founded the greatest country on the face of the earth. Can't have information stopping their continued disinformation, which is the only hope they ever have of trying to transform this country.
Ah, yes, repetition. I hear repetition all the time now. So what comes next, Thaddeus? Because I know I'm not declaring game over, but I am saying in the event that what I'm seeing is all there is, the tactics fail and the pleas fail, and the legislation is troubled to the point that it might not exist. So once we get through this process, and it's been weeks now, and the promises have not been met, and there's dissent in the Democratic Party, what happens next? How do the protesters deal with this setback?
Well, what they're going to do is continue to try to, they're going to try to spread the blame. They're not going to stop protesting. Remember, the only reason they stopped protesting in 2020 is when it looked like it was hurting Biden in the polls. So this is all they know how to do. They know how to protest. They're very destructive in terms of their messaging, their disinformation campaigns. They're going to continue to do it. So what they're going to do is they're going to try to, A, continue their disinformation campaign. They're then going to start blaming each other for the failure of the policies, for the failure of the movement. And then what they're also going to do is start screaming for more censorship, because they believe that if it weren't for all this other information they don't agree with, remember, these are the people who claim silence is violence, for God's sake. Okay, so they believe that if they just censor enough people, somehow everything will be fine and their policies will prevail and the world will be a better place. We call those people totalitarians, and this country should never have to endure them in a position of power ever.
So blame is next. Blame against
blame and censorship. Blame and censorship and repression. Again, they believe the countervailing information is ipso facto disinformation. Remember, these are people who believe, who are always never right, but never in doubt. Okay. So somehow they believe that if only they could control what everybody else is talking about, people would realize that they're genius and stop being deceived. When the reality is, John, they're going to have to try to censor people in addition to blame, because the reality on the ground is, and the reality on the ground that is being shared amongst the citizenry is, their policies don't work and we need somebody else in power.
I want to use another example. I'm less certain of the facts here, but it came up quickly in the Virginia gubernatorial race of several young people, it appeared, who are, we're told now, represent the Lincoln Project, which is a renegade outfit that is part of the Republican strategy at some point, but they're now never Trumpers. I don't know. It all could be out of date. In any event, they represented they represented themselves as protesters or acting as if they were supremacists. It's very confusing. But in any event, the media caught them out. They realized who they were and that this was, if it was military, we'd call it a false flag operation. Now, it failed, that is. It failed badly because everybody then denounced it. Democrats, the gubernatorial candidates, the national media, everybody denounced it. Is this a measure of also a frustration by elements of the used-to-be Republican Party? I don't know what to call them anymore.
Well, they're clearly Democrats. They've been supporting Democrats since the Biden campaign, clearly. They've been never Trumpers. So they've supported those causes. The Lincoln Project said their goal now is to destroy the Republican Party, so they are not Republicans, although I suppose that some element of them might be self-destructive. But when you look at it, this is a despicable, dirty trick. Don't say the media outed them. It was social media, the democratization of information that allowed for the truth to come out, that then the traditional media had to pick up and report, and even then they did it sparingly and grudgingly. Okay, so this is an example where the failure to weaponize information was actually undone by the democratization of information, and then every candidate, Republican or Democrat, had to denounce it, where, in fact, I don't think these people are stupid, these operatives. I think they're horrible, disgusting people, but they had some thought that somehow this would be rewarded by the Democratic Party if successful. And ask yourself this, if the Republican Party were truly full of racists and fascists, why would they have to go to these lengths to try to lie about the party having?
I don't have an answer, but I want to ask the additional question. This is not working. Whatever the Lincoln Project is, it's not working. So what do they go to blame when their tactics fall short?
Well, they were busy throwing somebody, I think, of their organization under the bus so they could pretend that they were blameless, which good luck. The final analysis is the left is going to engage in blame. The left is going to engage in repressive measures, especially against the First Amendment, to try to keep their monopoly, their perceived monopoly upon the flow of information. They're going to continue to weaponize fact checkers with bogus claims. So what's going to happen is blame and censorship. That's all they've got left in their bag of tricks. Oh, and they're going to continue to protest, and it's going to continue to boomerang on them.
It boomeranged in 1968, oddly. It led to the Democrats, who were the dominant party in the nation in 68. Good heavens, after the Kennedy assassination, Johnson won an overwhelming victory over Barry Goldwater. What we're looking at in 1968 is that it opened up the pathway for Richard Nixon to win. Is that something that the Democrats or the Lincoln Project seem to be aware of? They're making it possible for the person or the group of people they are most opposed to win?
There's two things. First, in relation to the left is the agent of chaos in this country. They always have been and will continue to be. We saw it in 2020. The media covered for them. They will continue to be. We're seeing it. And the people that they're engaged with right now are Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema. And this is the type of chaos and basically horrible political tactics, despicable ones that we're going to continue to see. People who would destroy a wedding or plant fake white supremacists and Nazis at rallies. The second part of this is Senator Sinema is showing, and I hope she continues to go forward, people in this country are looking for elected officials they can respect. That doesn't mean they're going to agree with them, but they can respect somebody who says they're going to do something, stands firm, and does it, not only against the opposition party, but more importantly, against members of their own party. If you find someone like that, do not throw them out, because what you're going to get will not be as good, quite likely.
That is McCotter writing an American Greatness of the Democratization of Information. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.